mom calls me every Sunday morning.
Glory to God.
And she said, I don't know why there's so much hate in the world, especially in church. Because God is
love.
God is
love.
Yes. Amen. We're going to dismiss the children for children's ministry at this time. Amen. We got mine up on my right. God is love. How can we profess to know God if we don't show love? Amen. You know, it's true we all have challenges and difficulties, but God is still love. And it's so important that we as a people of God learn to show love. Amen. The one thing that we should have the confidence on is when we come to church. Church should be a place where we get encouragement. How many know church should encourage us? Amen. Church should never discourage us. Yes, we need training, we need teaching, we need discipline. But if it's out of anger, that's not God. Amen. Jesus dealt with people all the time. And he always did it out of love. How many times the Bible said, and the people did, but Jesus had compassion. Compassion is God's love. Amen. And the reason we named our church Agape is
love.
God's love.
Yes.
And it goes beyond just being God's love. Agape is God's love unconditionally.
Yes.
Amen. Do you know what unconditionally means?
Mm-hmm.
Someone may have wronged you, but you still should show God's love. Amen. Agape is God's love unconditionally. We just thank God. We thank God for all of our visitors and friends. Amen. You know, a visitor, we were taught in our pastor's meeting in Georgia, people that come to church aren't visitors, but they're guests. Right? Because you treat guests how? Special. Visitors come and go. But when someone is your guest, any of y'all ever have a guest come to your house? When you have a guest, you treat them special. Amen. And anyone that comes to Agape, you are a guest. Amen. All you have to do is come one time, you're a part of us. You can run. But you can't hide. Listen, you can run. But you can't hide. Amen. Love is so important. It's so important that we, from the top down, have to show love. Amen. Even in our hard times, we still have to show love. Amen. That God is love. That's the first quality of God is love. For God so loved the world that he
is.
Right? A lot of people want to love, but they want to receive. Right? Listen, a lot of people want to love, but all they want to do is be a sponge and receive. And God showed us how to love. The first thing he did was he gave it. But we just blessed. We're blessed to be in the house of the Lord. We thank God, amen, for blessing us to travel to Augusta and back. Amen. We thank God for blessing. Where's Deacon George at? Deacon George drove for 4 o'clock, 10 o'clock. He drove for 18 hours the first day. All the way from Troy to Augusta. And we had a very grueling schedule, so he was driving every day. We were getting in late at night. So I prayed, I said, Lord, actually, it wasn't even my idea. My brother called me. My brother's been driving buses for 30 years. So my brother called me. He said, you know what? I was planning on driving y'all to Georgia. He said, but I thought about it. I think it would be better if I drive y'all from Georgia back to New York. And he's been driving for 30 years. I said, well, yeah, that sounds real good. And let me give Deacon George a break. Amen. So my brother drove in from Atlanta. I got a good brother. I'm going to tell you, I got a good brother. And I said, well, let me give you some money. This is for family. My brother drove from Atlanta to Augusta, about 140, 150 miles. Left his car at the hotel. Drove us all the way up. We couldn't get any flights out of Albany. How many know even though Albany is an international airport, it is expensive. So we said, we tried Albany. I said, nah, let's go to Albany. So he drove us from Augusta to Philadelphia. Amen. Just to give Deacon George a break. Then he flew back to Atlanta, then drove back to Augusta to pick up his car, and then drove back to Atlanta.
Amen.
So I said, I'll at least give you $100. He looked at me and said, you're not giving me anything. Amen. That's what family is about.
Amen.
And it doesn't have to just be your natural blood, it also be the spiritual blood. Because the Bible says we're all baptized into how many bodies?
One body.
So when one suffer, when one rejoice, we all rejoice. So I owe my brother. Amen. He didn't, we got there just in time. He didn't get a chance to say bye. He just ran off the bus saying, y'all pray for me. Because his plane left at 6:30 and we got to Philadelphia at 5:50. Amen. God is good.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? Let me go online and try to find you a different flight. He said, don't worry about it. God got this.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, if we as a people learn to cherish our personal relationship to family, learn to cherish our church relationship, how many know the world will be a lot much better place? We always find fault and point the finger at things that go wrong. And then our bishop, amen, he called me at about, it was late Friday when we got in because he had an emergency that happened, so he didn't get a chance to really speak to us. He called me, all y'all remember Bishop Hayes, he was up here for our dedication. He called me late Friday. He said, what time are y'all leaving in the morning? I said, oh, we're going to leave at 4 o'clock. He said, well, call me when you get up and I'll come and say goodbye to the saints. I said, all right, I'll call. I know he didn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to the hotel and say goodbye to the saints. So I called the first time and didn't get, the phone just went to the answering machine. I said, well, I didn't think he wanted to really get up. Well, I said, well, before I go to the judge, you know, let me call him again. He answered the phone. He said, well, praise the Lord, I'll be right there. Listen, at 3:30 in the morning, he came to the bus, talked to everybody. Then he went to the bus and laid hands on every individual in the bus. Including the bus driver, then he prayed for the bus.
Amen.
That's what church should be about.
Amen.
Amen. And if we call one of y'all and say, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't think so.
Amen.
I'm serious, man. 3 o'clock. See, how about try 6 o'clock? No, but he had to get dressed and drive to where we were at, and he was there at 3:30, and he stayed till we left. Love is not what you talk, but love is what you. The Bible said we should not love in tongue, but we should love in deed and in truth. Amen. But let us stand for our scripture reading. We bless the Lord. We thank God for our bishop. They teach us.
Amen.
The reason that we show love is every time we have a problem, what does our bishop and first lady tell us?
To love them through it.
Love them through it.
Right.
Isn't that a simple remedy? You know, it costs you no money. When somebody have a hard time, do what? Stop judging and making them feel worse. You know, yeah, we have people that are down. When you're down, you don't need nobody to put you down further. But when you're down, that's when the time you need to be lifted up. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We're just honored to be in the house of the Lord again. And we thank God for all that he's doing and more than that. We thank God for what he is yet to do. We're going to turn to the book of Exodus, and we're going to read verses 11 through 23. Exodus chapter 33, verses 11 through 23. Amen. Exodus 33, verses 11 through 23 together. If you have it in your Bible, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 11 reads, and the Lord speak unto Moses. I like that. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me how? Face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee, prophesied. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, in thy presence, go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast. Yes, when your relationship is right. The Bible said, ask and you shall receive. For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I, yes, bless your name. I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass. Oh, God, thank you. I thought anybody want to talk to God, God talk that to you. God said, yeah, I want to let all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Somebody said, he's talking about in a spirit. No, he said, you cannot see my face. And we get into that a little more later. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by. And I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall thou not see. Let us pray. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Oh God, we're so honored to be in thy presence. For we realize that well, the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Lord, we realize that in thy presence, hallelujah, is the fullness of joy. Oh God, we know that in thy right hands there are pleasures evermore. Now, Lord, as we come before thee in this time of need, Lord, we ask you to speak. Oh God, you know every need that exists individually and collectively within the congregation. Lord, we ask you to send a word to meet every need. Oh God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, make us to decrease that you might increase. And Lord, for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Moses had a unique relationship with God. There's not another man living that God spoke to him how? Face to face. He said, like a man speaking to his friend. Amen? Well, just to give you a little background history before we get into this, in the 32nd chapter, Moses was in the Mount of God receiving the 10 commandments. And while he was up there with God receiving the commandments, the people went astray. They convinced Aaron to make them a golden calf to worship. And God told Moses, he said, Moses, get thee down quickly, because the people have erred, they've gone astray, they're doing the wrong thing. So Moses and Joshua come down from the mountain. And they say, I hear a noise in the camp. But it's not a noise that's coming from the Lord. Amen. You got to be able to discern when it's a noise from God and it's ignores and not from God. So Joshua would say, well, we hear noise. But Moses said, no, that's not the noise of shouting from the Lord, but that's another noise, because they were worshiping a golden idol. Amen. And when Moses saw the people, he threw the stones down and broke them both, because he was angry that the people had gone astray and began to follow another God. So Moses began to chastise the people, and he asked, who's on the Lord's side? That's an important question today. Yes. Whose side are you on? Right, somebody write that down. Y'all can make that a message of y'all. That ain't our message, right? Who today is on the Lord's side? Who is God influencing to do the right thing? So he said, who's on the Lord's side? So God is dealing with Moses, and Moses was dealing with the people, and the people were being very stiff-necked and hard-headed, because God was saying do one thing and the people were doing the opposite. So Moses now is in a place of desperation. Moses is in a place where he's not comfortable. Moses is in a place where he has a wake of leading so many million people, but the majority of them want to do their own thing. So God and Moses begin to speak in the 33rd chapter, and that brings us to verse 11. So we see that Moses is coming to God, and he's in a point of need. Moses come to God, and he's in a point of desperation. Can we say desperation?
Desperation.
Amen. Anybody get like that sometimes when nobody can help us? That's the time. It's time to go to God. So Moses is now in a point of desperation. He has a need. Hallelujah. And it's a bad situation when you got so many million people and you only got a couple doing right. Do you understand what I mean? He's with all these million of people, and there's only a few doing right. And it's really bad when the person you left in charge that's supposed to be leading God's people is in error too. So Moses is like, Lord, what am I? You ever had one of those, what am I going to do situations?
Yes.
God, I'm trying to do what you say, and things just don't look right. Things don't feel right. So Moses, that brings us up to 11. Now, if you want to read 32 and 33 up to, I gave you a highlight, and you can read the rest yourself. But you know now Moses is in one of those situations where he's trying to get the mind of God to decide, what do I do in the midst of a bad situation? Verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, face. You know how bad that was? God couldn't send Michael. He couldn't send Gabriel. God said, this is one of those situations I got to handle myself. Lord, I don't mind Gabriel, and I don't mind Michael. But Lord, can you just speak to me face to face? I don't mind, hallelujah, the pastor talking to me. But I'm in a point of desperation. I'm in a point of need. Lord, I need you to speak to me face to face. Amen. It said, amen, speaketh unto his friend. Now, a lot of people will try to magnify this and spiritualize it and say it's just a spirit. You can't see the face of a spirit, can you? So look at somebody and say, let the Bible speak. All right, y'all speak. Let the Bible speak. Don't let me speak, but let God speak. Amen? So at the next verse says that Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, as thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt. I'm a good. But I'm not going by myself. Now listen, Moses met the Lord at the back.
dealing with the strength to curses. Amen. So God did not appear to Moses in something that he did not understand. Hallelujah. So be assured of this. If God wants to get your attention, he's not going to come to you if you can speak Spanish, unless you're bilingual. That's what they had there for the charge. Let me add, okay, if you're Spanish, God's not going to come to you speaking Swahili. Because when God's speaking Swahili, you're right. Right? Somebody, seriously, if God's dealing with you in the way you understand what God says, you're going to go. What did he say? What did he do? So when God deals with us, he deals with us on a level that we can understand God. That's why it's important when God is dealing with somebody, you need to move out of the way. Because God is dealing with them on their level, but super religious, Catholic, all of those. They be dealing with them on God's way. You need to move out of the way. Let me do this. How many know what God does? He does it right. So God appeared unto Moses in a way that Moses could understand. And he said, I am the Lord, take off your shoes, because of the place where thou standest. So Moses knew God. He knew the voice of God. He heard God speak. He said, verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now. God had already been leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and Moses still is confused. He said, Lord, I need you to show me the way. Right? The Bible said a pillar of cloud led them by day to protect them from the sun, and a pillar of fire moved behind them by night. That's what I like about God. God knows how to position himself. Do you understand what I mean? Now, we'll be trying to get in the front, but we ought to be in the back. But God knows how to position himself so that he can lead us when we need leading, and he can protect us when we need protection. Can we say praise the Lord? So Moses was familiar with the Lord, but he asked God, he said, Lord, I need you to still show me who's been leading them. God, but this is one of those times. I believe the songwriter said, I prayed and I prayed. And I prayed all night long. But my soul couldn't rest content until I. This is one of those times when Moses said, I got to find the Lord. I don't need to hear your testimony about what God has done for you, but I need to find him for myself.
Hallelujah. I don't care how
Amen. It's so important we sing a song. Where he leads me, I will.
Glory.
What's a big deal about some glory? So I said, God, I need you to show me your glory. I'm in a strait. I'm in a situation. Lord, I need you to go with me. But I need confirmation that you're going to be with me. I need you to show me your glory. Anybody ever prayed like that? God, I do believe it. Yes, and my soul looks back and wonder how I got over. And when I look back and I begin to count my blessings one by one, I'm excited for what God has done. But God, I need you to show me some additional things. Hallelujah. I need you to show me your majesty. I need you to show me your splendor. Lord, I need to see something about you, hallelujah, that I have not seen yet. So the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God said, but you ask me to do something that I cannot do. Now, in your ignorance, because you don't understand, you're asking me to do something, but God said, I need to explain that you ask me to do something that will hurt you. He said, so I'm going to answer your prayer, but I'm going to answer it in the right way. Anybody ever prayed at the end of the prayer that said, Lord, not my will. Now let's go to Hebrews 1. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Hebrews 1 and verse 1.
Jesus.
Right? So he's on the rock. Jesus is the rock. He said, I'm going to come in. He said, you cannot see mine. You can only see mine. Not bad. And the scripture says, God, who has suddenly time and in time of men of state and time past, has in these last days spoken unto us by the prophets. And verse 2 said, he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who has appointed heir of, by whom also he made the world, who being the
right hand of the Lord.
Show me. Cannot see my face and live. I want to thank you. But now Paul writes it, that he is the express image of his glory. You can see my back paws, but you can't see my face. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know when it said being the brightness, that is God's majesty. That is God's splendor. Amen. That is all of God. He said the brightness of his glory and the express. What is the express image? That is the exact reproduction of how Christ would present himself. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, we're talking about what God's glory. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Now, he says, show me your glory, but you can't see the face. You can only see. But then he says, Jesus is the express image of his
glory.
You know what?
Amen.
So, all right, let's go to this. First, chapter 2 Corinthians 4, 3 reads. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has. So when you don't follow the gospel, the devil will blind you. You can be looking, but you cannot see. Because the devil has blinded you. Amen. Of them that which somebody said, I don't believe you will never see God. You will never see a mirror. Because in order for you to see a mirror, you must believe. Let the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is he, should shine unto them. Go down to verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of. God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. There was nothing darkness could do with the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the darkness comprehended me. Oh, where there's light, darkness can't touch. Hallelujah. So it said that he spoke. Amen. And commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And shine in our heart to give light of the glory of God. We get the glory of the knowledge of God. How? That's why he could not show him his face. Because that is God's glory. God said, you can't see my face and live. Because when you see my face, you have to die. He said, but I'm going to show you the. I wonder
if God was just taking him back to Revelation. You can't see the front.
But you can see the back. So it says that Jesus is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus, who is the image of the Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then 2 Corinthians 2:9 said, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. In him, in Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, once again, glory is majesty. Glory is And God told him, he said, you can see my hand apart, but you cannot see my face. Moses said, Lord, I need something beyond the size that I've already seen. He said, there's not enough. I need to see some. Look at somebody and say, glory. Come on, I need to see some glory. So, Matthew 17, 1 reads, and after 6 days, Jesus taken Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into the mountain apart. And he was changed right before them. He wasn't the same right before them, and his face is shining as the splendor. Right? We talk about showing your glory. Amen. Remember, glory is splendor, is exceeding great light, is something that's majestic, something that you haven't seen before. So the Bible says that Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's transfigured before them. And he put his face shine as bright as the sun. And his clothes were white as light. Don't they sound like splendor? Don't they sound like majesty? So Moses in the Old Testament was speaking about glory. Now Jesus in the New Testament tells us who the glory is. Who the glory is? I know, I'm not going to preach, but I can teach it this too, so you can get it right.
Come on.
You ain't going to, when you leave, you have to guess what it is.
That's all right.
All right. So he says, it's light. And behold, there appeared unto them. Well, who was Moses? He was the first one to meet them. So Moses was the greatest of all the prophets. I believe it's in Acts, the second chapter or the seventh chapter one. It says there's not another prophet to lead them like Moses. So Moses was number one. All throughout Israel history, it talks about Moses. Right? So now, who would be the competition for Jesus? Moses. Listen, Moses was such a mighty man that when he died, did you know that God would not allow a man to bury him? The Bible said, I believe it's in Deuteronomy 33rd chapter, it said that when Moses died, God took and buried him, and to this day, nobody knows where Moses was buried. Why? Moses was mighty in Israel. But God did not want them to worship Moses. So God, he said, I'm not going to let you know what separate is. I'm going to bury him. That's special. Lord, bury me. Lord, let me have that kind of relationship. So Moses appears. Then after Moses, the next greatest would be Elijah. Well, why would it be Elijah? Because the Bible says Elijah went to God in the chariot of fire. Elijah never died. So in Israel, history before, besides Enoch, and you can debate it however you want to debate it, right? Besides Enoch is Moses and Elijah. Right? So they appeared. And then Peter and the apostles said, let us make 3 tabernacles. But God said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And then they said, when they opened their eyes, there stood no man save Jesus only. Because that was God's glory. That was God how he would be. So he said, Moses marches so far, but Moses couldn't carry on. He said, Elijah brought you so far, but he could not carry on. He said, I look for a man, but there was none to help. He said, I wonder, and there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought forth salvation. Hallelujah. So you're trying to figure it out. God said, I'm already telling you who I am. All right, let's go. We're going to go to one more verse of scripture. One more. Hey, who's following me? I'm just saying.
Amen.
Like I said, let the Bible speak. Amen. Ain't no use in telling you what you think. You know, that's why so many different things out there now. If you let the Bible speak, then we don't go in there. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Thank you, James, for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Second Peter chapter 1. We just let the Bible speak. We are allowing God to be God. We're not trying to rival God. We're not trying to battle God. But if I want to see His glory, I want to know who the glory is. Because He said, you can only see my back, you can't see my face. Just as a sidebar, right? If you read it in Genesis, the 17th chapter, where we get this from the bishop, right? The Bible says, God appeared unto Abram. And he said they talked face to face. And someone said, no, he's just a spirit. But if you got down to, I think, to the 22nd verse, it said, and after God speaking, finished speaking, he ascended into heaven. It didn't say, they just saw something. It said, he was there speaking to Abram, who became Abraham. Then he ascended into heaven. Then when Jesus was speaking to the Jews, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Then after Jesus died and rose, after he finished talking, he asked no man, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus that ascended in Genesis 17:22, and in Acts, this same Jesus shall appear in like manner as you have seen him. That's why Abraham rejoices in him. That's no choice. Alright. Let's finish it. 2 Peter 1:16 read. For we have not followed commonly devised fables. For we may not make known unto you the power and he is coming. They can put whatever they want out there. He is coming. He ain't coming as a weak man. He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, Lord, when he was here, he was meek and he was humble. He was as a lamb led to the slaughter. But when he comes back to you and I, brothers and sisters, he's coming with
chapter 1:16.
for we have not followed common devised sayings. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his kingship. We saw the king. Eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice from him in the what? We're back to the glory again. Didn't Moses say, I want to show me your glory? There came a voice from him from the excellent glory. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from him when we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. I just want to go back to one other thing in Matthew 17. I'm almost finished. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I can't go by myself. How many know I can't walk without him holding my hand? The mountains are too high. The valleys are too wide. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, then we talk about the holy mountain. Somebody said, well, why did they talk about it? Verse 9 of the 17th chapter read. And as they came down, Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell. Don't tell nobody who I am yet. Because they knew who he was. The Lord told them who he was. Don't worry about Moses. Don't worry about Elijah. Somebody said, Lord, this. He said, no. Hear ye him. Not them, but who?
Him.
It said, tell the vision to no man until. Don't tell him who I am. Till I rise. Well, what was God's glory? In our hard time, God's glory is Jesus Christ. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the express image of his glory. He is God. We're living in a day and time where people are trying to get all kind of help in their destitution, in their hurt, hardships. But the only one that can help us is Jesus, as we all say. Jesus says in the 11th chapter, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I give you. You know, let me ask you a question. This is a real simple thing.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You know, now, I grew up, I used to have all kind of battles and struggles and fights. Sometimes thinking you nuts, didn't know what was going on, right? And a lot of times we pay money, go to all these people. They just keep taking more money and more money, and coming for more visits, trying to get you help. Jesus said, come unto me, all your labor, heavenly needs, I give you.
Yes.
How much does it cost? All it costs is saying, yes to his will, and yes to his will.
Thank you, Lord.
Come unto me, all your labor, heavenly needs, I give you. Rest is peace of mind. And the Bible said, when God gives us peace, listen, God's peace passeth all. Understand? You cannot figure out the peace of God. But God won't help you until you come. He said, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Lord, show me thy glory of his.